Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, August 16th, 2022. Coming up this hour.
Stocks begin the day at three-month highs.
Apple sets another date for workers to return to the office.
It's primary day with key races involving Liz Cheney in Wyoming and Sarah Palin in Alaska.
And the DOJ opposes the release of an affidavit in the search of Donald Trump's home.
Staffing issues cause headaches at New York City airports. Plus, former Trump attorney Rudy Giuliani is the target of a criminal probe. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stanshower at Sports. Rough night for New York baseball. The Yankees were shut out again. The Mets lost in Atlanta 13-1.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm John Tucker.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and U.S. stock index futures are lower this morning. We're coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street. I mean, check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down about 8 points. Dow futures down 34, and NASDAQ futures down 28. The DAX in Germany is up 0.6%. 10-year Treasury down 3/32, yield 2.80%. The yield on the 2-year, 3.20%. NYMEX crude oil is down about 0.5% or 47 cents at $88.95. A barrel. COMEX gold down 0.4% or $7.20 at $17.90 an ounce. And Bitcoin this morning is little changed at $24,080. John.
And Karen, we begin today's session with U.S. stocks at a three-month high. The S&P 500 has gained for four straight weeks. It's the longest winning streak this year. Hank Smith is Chief Investment Officer at Haverford Trust.
Now I think it's anticipating that we are beyond peak inflation. And that a lot of factors, including the Federal Reserve's policy, is starting to unwind inflation. And perhaps the Fed might get lucky and engineer a somewhat soft landing.
Haverford Trust Hank Smith says the next batch of retail earnings could be key for the markets.
And, John, we start to hear from some of those retailers today. Right now, this morning, Home Depot reporting second-quarter comparable sales that beat analyst estimates. Those earnings are just crossing the Bloomberg. Walmart reports in less than an hour from now, and we get a preview from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
The giant retailer issued a business update less than a month ago in which it lowered its profit outlook, so Bloomberg Intelligence says today's release should hold few surprises. Inflation has been a significant headwind for Walmart, causing customers to spend more on food and less on discretionary items. BI says a sales event in June may have helped to reduce some inventory, but Walmart will likely need further markdowns to move overstocks of clothing. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thanks, Jeff. On Wall Street, we're learning what some of the world's biggest money managers are doing with their stock portfolios. Let's get the latest live from Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, John. During the latest quarter, Stanley Druckenmiller's family office offloaded big tech, selling its entire $199 million position in Amazon and scaling back its stake in Microsoft. Soros Fund Management boosted its stakes in Amazon, Salesforce, and Alphabet. Berkshire Hathaway eliminated a Verizon stake and boosted other bets, including Occidental Petroleum, increasing its investment there more than it did in any other firm. But Apple remains Berkshire's largest holding. And Michael Burry's Scion Asset Management exited all equity positions except one. It added private prison operator Geo Group, Scion's only stock holding as of the end of June. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. Well, Apple making news this morning. Bloomberg News has learned the company has laid off many of its contract-based recruiters in the past week. It's part of a push to rein in the tech giant's hiring and spending. And in another development, Apple has set a September 5th deadline for corporate employees to be in the office at least 3 days a week. COVID spikes disrupted Apple's previous attempts to have workers back in the office.
And let's turn to politics now, where it's primary day in Wyoming and Alaska. Representative Liz Cheney bracing for a loss, while former vice presidential candidate Sarah Palin looks to stage a political comeback. And Bloomberg's Amy Morris has more from our 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
Cheney is all but certain to lose to challenger Harriet Hageman, who has former President Trump's support and leads by nearly 30 percentage points in the polls. But Cheney's supporters say she's already charting a rebound. In Alaska, former Governor Sarah Palin is trying for a comeback in the open race for the state's sole seat in Congress. Her critics say she's been more visible on right-wing TV in the lower 48 than in her own home state. But she has Trump's endorsement. Also in Alaska, Senator Lisa Murkowski is in a re-election fight against Trump-supported candidate Kelly Shibaka. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Amy, thank you. We also have news about Donald Trump's battle with the Justice Department. The DOJ says it's against the release of an affidavit justifying a search warrant for documents at the former president's Florida home. The search warrant itself has been released, but the Justice Department says the affidavit includes sensitive information about the investigation. St. John's University law professor John Barrett says it's a standard move by the DOJ.
It's the details of what surveillance information, what informant information, what prior course of dealings led the government to believe that there were classified documents in Mar-a-Lago. And that's all highly confidential and actively part of an investigation.
St. John's University law professor John Barrett was a guest on Bloomberg Sound On. Catch the program weekdays at 5 p.m. Eastern on Bloomberg Radio.
And geopolitics also in focus this morning. China says it's going to fight back against the latest congressional visit to Taiwan. Let's get more from Bloomberg's Ed Baxter.
It says it will increase patrols both air and sea to provide a resolute response. In an exclusive interview with Bloomberg editor-in-chief John Micklethwaite, Singapore Deputy Prime Minister Lawrence Wong says China and the U.S. mistakenly could sleepwalk into a conflict.
We are starting to see a series of decisions being taken by both countries that will lead us into more and more dangerous territory.
Wong says neither side wants open conflict, but is very concerned a mistake could happen. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thank you. We're watching shares of Home Depot this morning up 0.9% in early trading after its earnings crossed the Bloomberg. It reported second quarter comp sales that beat analyst estimates. And straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 6:07 on Wall Street. Time to bring in Michael Barr to find out what else is going on in New York and around the world.
John, thank you very much, sir. It is back to normal this morning, but yesterday travelers at New York City area airports were told by the FAA to expect delays because of airline staffing shortages. Staffing at a facility that manages the airspace for all three major New York airports is said to be the problem. The FAA later tweeted that the problem had been solved, but not soon enough for these people. They were grounded.
Maybe we'll start driving. Maybe that'll be better. Maybe. We'll see.
With the industry struggling with pent-up demand for travel and a system that's understaffed post-COVID, airports blame the airlines, and the airlines blame the FAA. Prosecutors in Atlanta have told Rudy Giuliani's lawyers that he is a target of their criminal investigation into possible illegal attempts by then-President Donald Trump and others to interfere in the 2020 general election in Georgia. Giuliani says, "You do this to a lawyer, we don't have America anymore." Russia and Ukraine blame each other for the renewed shelling near a nuclear power plant in western Ukraine. State Department spokesperson Ned Price says the U.S. is closely monitoring the activity at the plant.
We believe that the fighting there is dangerous, it's irresponsible, and we do continue to urge an end to all military operations at or near Ukraine's facilities and the return of full control of those facilities to Ukraine.
State Department spokesperson Ned Price, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky renewed his call for fresh sanctions against Moscow. The efforts continue to bring WNBA star Brittany Griner and fellow American detainee Paul Whelan back from Russia. Griner's attorneys have filed an appeal, who was recently sentenced to 9 years in prison in Russia. Bill Richardson, who has worked in hostage negotiations through his position at the Richardson Center for Global Engagement, says he has talked to both sides.
It basically says the legal process is over except for the appeal, and it's reasonable to have this appeal, 9-year sentence in a penal colony. Now there can be negotiations between the United States and Russia.
Bill Richardson believes Greiner's legal team has been effective. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts, more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. It's now 6:10 on Wall Street. That's time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
All right, John. It's more than just a little slump now for the Yankees. 11-21 over their last 32 games. 2-10 in their last 12. Shut out four times, including Sunday night in Boston. And again last night at the stadium. Tampa Bay used five pitchers and won 4-0. Took advantage of an Aaron Hicks misplay in center field to score one run. Then scored three more with two outs in the ninth inning. Things look bleak, and yet Aaron Boone, ever the optimist.
Sure, there are some good things happening. Our starters continue to really throw the ball well. A number of guys out of the pen, even though Lou struggled tonight, are throwing the ball well. We just got to get some guys on track offensively right now and get guys that should be key contributors contributing like they're capable of.
Hicks has been a real problem. 5 for his last 53. Yanks had one scoring threat last night. Bases loaded, fourth inning. Hicks hit into an inning-ending double play. The Mets' most lopsided loss of the season, 13-1 in Atlanta. The Braves hit three home runs. The top two in their order, Ronald Acuna and Dansby Swanson, combined for six hits, six RBI, seventh straight win for Atlanta, back to within 4.5 for the Mets. 80th win of the year for the Dodgers. They won 13-14, this after learning that Walker Buehler, who was fourth in the Cy Young voting last year, is having season-ending elbow surgery. Texas Rangers fired their manager, Chris Woodward. Rangers having a rough year after spending a lot in the offseason. Tiger Woods will meet today with about 20 members of the PGA Tour, a pep talk on how to make the tour better and fight off the challenge from the new LIV Tour. Pete Carril has died at 92, the Hall of Fame basketball coach at Princeton for 29 years. He won 13 Ivy League championships. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. John?
All right, thanks, John. And ahead of the cash open on Wall Street, we're looking at futures right now. In the red, the Dow futures down 32 points. S&P E-mini futures 8 points lower. And the Nasdaq futures right now, they are down 33 points. NYMEX crude down 42 cents a barrel at $88.99. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And just ahead, we'll preview earnings from Walmart, break down some of the other retailers reporting today. We'll speak with John Edwards of Bloomberg News. You're listening to Daybreak.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and we continue to watch shares of Home Depot this morning. They have turned lower, now down 1.7%. Home Depot reported second quarter comp sales that beat analyst estimates, but it did say that comp sales for the year could just meet what analysts are looking for. Futures this morning are lower. S&P futures down about 10 points. Dow futures down 57, and NASDAQ futures down 36. The DAX in Germany is up about 0.5%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 2.79%. Yield on the two-year, 3.20%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.6%, or 55 cents, at $88.85 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.4%, or $7.60, at $17.90.50 an ounce. The euro, 1.0140 against the dollar. British pound, 1.2023, and the yen at 134.11. And looking at Bitcoin, it is little changed at $24,080. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. The Justice Department said it opposes the release of an FBI affidavit justifying a search warrant used to remove documents from former President Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago home in Florida last week. The DOJ asked the judge to keep the filing sealed due to the investigation that implicates national security. It is primary day in Wyoming and Alaska. Republican Congresswoman Liz Cheney is fighting to keep her seat after voting to impeach Trump. In baseball, the slumping Yankees lost to the Rays 4-0. The Braves, oh my, they put a what for and why whipping on the Mets. 13-1. The Nationals, Orioles, and Giants won. The A's lost. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. It is now 5 to 6:20 on Wall Street. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Well, analysts are seeking clues about how soaring inflation is going to impact spending during the rest of the year. retail earnings on tap. We just got Home Depot. Walmart is going to report fiscal or second quarter results before the market opened this morning. And joining us now with everything retail is John Edwards, U.S. Consumer Team Leader. Let's start off with a place where I've yet to buy a 2x4 that isn't warped. They're still buying at Home Depot.
It looks that way, yeah. There were some concerns that the housing slowdown was going to affect Home Depot's results, but it turns out that they beat expectations for the quarter. They reaffirmed their expectations for the year, and it seems that home improvement spending is still holding up. So it looks like people are countering that home sales slowdown by trying to fix up their homes to make them more appealing in the market that's still out there.
Okay. Let's head to number one retailer, Walmart. This is a story I would imagine about margins. Are people buying stuff that they need or stuff that they don't necessarily need with higher margins?
No, that's exactly it. Walmart issued a warning in late July, saying that the mix of its sales was going to hurt its margins because people were backing away from discretionary purchases of higher margin items like electronics and other discretionary goods, and spending more on food and fuel, which have lower margins. So the figure to watch is 24%. That's the current estimate for their gross margin for the second quarter, and we'll find out at 7 o'clock if they hit that.
Well, at the top line, but people are still, I mean, sales are actually increasing. Do I have that right?
That's exactly right. When they issued that profit warning, they also said that their sales would actually be higher than expected. And again, the problem is not so much sales overall as the mix. They're selling a lot of groceries, a lot of fuel at their gas stations, but those items have lower profit margins for them, and so that's what's hurting their profits.
Do these places have a lot of stuff in the warehouses that they got to get rid of? Or
absolutely.
How does that work?
Yeah, well, Walmart and other retailers tried to stock up a lot, during the pandemic, the height of the pandemic, because of those supply chain problems that we were seeing. And in some ways, they might have been too successful at that. They stocked up on a lot of things that people were wanting back in the height of the pandemic, and now that people have shifted their spending, they're stuck with a lot of goods that they need to move, and so they've had to bring in bigger discounts on those things, and that again is hurting margins even more.
It's back to school. Are they also preparing for Halloween and Christmas even at
Oh,
this
absolutely.
Point?
Yeah. No, yeah, Lord. they are getting ready. Halloween stuff is probably already at least in the warehouses, if not starting to hit the shelves. And they want to be ready for the Christmas season as well. But the concern right now is not so much being fully stocked. I think they feel like their shelves will be full enough. It's getting rid of that excess inventory.
Okay, so that means I can go in and get a good discount, right, if I want to buy something that nobody else wants right now, or anybody else can afford.
That's exactly it, yeah.
How much is that going to impact the margin, their profitability going forward?
It's certainly, again, they issued a warning for the full year, so they expect that to hurt their profits through the rest of their fiscal year. And we'll see what the recovery is like. And we'll also see if they manage to exceed expectations, their lowered expectations, the way Home Depot managed to beat their estimates.
As bellwethers, what does this all tell us, the bottom line about the American consumer right now?
Well, it tells us that, there is actually some consumer strength out there. It's just, a matter of, we see that obviously inflation is hitting people and sort of shifting them away again from those sort of discretionary big ticket purchases. But people are still employed, unemployment is low. And so people do have money to spend. It's just they're spending it more on essentials like food and fuel.
John, a pleasure. Appreciate it. Thanks for stopping by this morning. John Edwards, sure, the U.S. Consumer Team Leader here at Bloomberg. Again, we're waiting for Walmart earnings this morning before the opening bell on Wall Street. Home Depot did report comparable sales for the second quarter that did beat the average analyst estimate. Head of the cash open on Wall Street. Looking at futures right now, they're in the red. The Dow futures, 51 points lower. S&P E-mini futures, they're down 7 points. And the NASDAQ futures right now, 24 points lower. As far as yields go, the 10-year yield, 279. The 2-year at 320. And NYMEX crude down 61 cents, 88.82 a barrel. You're listening to Bloomberg. And just ahead, top stories. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm John Tucker.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Time for the five things you need to know to start your day. Brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Interactive Brokers Global Analyst helps you find new global investment opportunities to diversify your portfolio and discover undervalued companies that may have greater growth potential. Try IBKR Global Analyst today at IBKR.com/GA. First, we begin today with stocks at a three-month high. That's despite concerns over inflation and a potential recession. Julie Beal is portfolio manager at Kayne Anderson Rudnick.
The ways that you can kind of stay out of trouble, I think, is investing in businesses that typically just serve other businesses. And I like software because they have high levels of recurring revenue and very good profitability. I think that makes them more durable.
Julie Beal with Kayne Anderson Rudnick says it's crucial for the Fed to rein in inflation.
And to earnings now, Home Depot reported sales above analyst estimates, but the stock is down more than 1%. We're going to hear from retail giant Walmart in about a half an hour. And Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett as a preview.
Analyst survey by Bloomberg see Walmart reporting second quarter adjusted earnings per share of $1.63 on revenue of $151.1 billion. Walmart's insights into shopper behavior will be under scrutiny as analysts seek clues about how soaring inflation will affect spending during the rest of the year. The retail giant cut its earnings outlook 3 weeks ago in New York. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thanks. Well, this morning we're learning of moves from the world's biggest money managers. And Bloomberg's Renita Young joins us live with more. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Karen. During the latest quarter, Stanley Druckenmiller's family office sold its entire $199 million position in Amazon and scaled back its stake in Microsoft. Soros Fund Management, meanwhile, boosted its stakes in Amazon, Salesforce, and Alphabet. Berkshire Hathaway eliminated a Verizon stake and boosted other bets, including Occidental Petroleum. And Michael Burry's Scion Asset Management exited all equity positions except private prison operator Geo Group, its only stock holding as of the end of June. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thanks. Thanks, Renita. Those are the five things you need to know to start your day. Brought to you by Interactive Brokers. And ahead of the cash open on Wall Street, we have Dow futures down 62 points. That's a decline of 0.2%. S&P E-mini futures down 8. That's down 0.2%. And the NASDAQ futures right now 25 points lower. 0.2% lower. Just ahead, local stories. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. It's now 6:33 on Wall Street, and let's bring in Michael Barr now to tell us what else is going on in New York and around the world.
John, thank you very much, sir. Things appear to be back to normal this morning after travelers at New York City area airports, including JFK, LaGuardia, and Newark, were told by the FAA to expect delays because of airline staffing shortages. Yesterday, this college student missed her connector from Newark to get to Syracuse. She told News 4 she had to spend the night at the airport.
I only had like 2 hours at this airport and had to change terminals. So The next flight to Syracuse is in the morning.
The problem was said to be staffing at a facility that manages the airspace for all three major New York airports. Rudy Giuliani is a target of the criminal investigation into possible illegal attempts by then-President Donald Trump and others to interfere in the 2020 general election in Georgia. Prosecutors informed attorneys for the former New York mayor-turned-Trump defender. Meanwhile, Alan Weisselberg, the Trump Organization's longtime CFO, is said to be in plea talks with state prosecutors to resolve tax fraud charges. The effort to bring WNBA star Brittany Griner and fellow American detainee Paul Whelan back from Russia is ongoing. Griner was recently sentenced to 9 years in prison in Russia. Her attorneys have filed an appeal. Bill Richardson, who has worked in hostage negotiations through his position at the Richardson Center for Global Engagement, he says he has talked to both sides and is optimistic.
Both sides are moving in the right direction because they've done it before, despite the fact that the relationship between the United States and Russia is toxic.
Bill Richardson believes Griner's legal team has been effective. Businessman turned philanthropist Bill Gates spoke to South Korean lawmakers in Seoul today. Gates called for more international efforts to prevent disease outbreaks like COVID-19.
Enhancing our global surveillance, having what I call a germ team of 3,000 people to track things and stop outbreaks before they become pandemics.
Philanthropist Bill Gates. The CDC has published new guidance on their website for Americans who have caught monkeypox. Among the new recommendations, the CDC says people who can't isolate in another household should take steps to avoid spreading monkeypox, like disinfecting doorknobs and not sharing towels. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. And it is now 6:36 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Thanks, John. The first place Mets, first place Yankees, and yet last night they both lost, and by a combined score of 17-1. Mets pitching has been so good, 8 games in a row without allowing more than 2 runs. Just had back-to-back shutouts to the Phillies, but the Braves got 3 runs off Carlos Carrasco, and then an 8-run sixth inning to win 13-1. And since losing 4 of 5 at Citi Field, Braves have won 7 straight. They're back to within 4.5 of the Mets. 3 more games remain in this series. The Mets have lost infielder Luis Guillorme to a groin injury. The manager is Buck Showalter.
Phillies just play without Schwarber. Yankees play without Stanton. These guys have played without people. I mean, it is what it is. Yeah, he's valuable. So it was. So is Jake DeGrom. So is, Nemo's been down. Neil's been down. I mean, it is what it is.
The Yankee injuries have certainly hurt them. DJ LeMahieu, the latest to be out of the lineup. Still, it's remarkable how poorly the Yankees have played after being so good for 3 months. They've lost 10 of the last 12. They've been shut out 4 times. Tampa Bay, who had a near-perfect game on Sunday from Drew Rasmussen, last night used 5 different pitchers. A 4-0 win at the stadium. The second straight start for Gerrit Cole, where he got no run support. In those 2 starts, he's only allowed 1 run, but has no wins to show for it. Tampa Bay Bucks have signed veteran defensive lineman Carl Nassib. They had him once before. He's the one who a year ago, while a member of the Raiders, came out as the NFL's first openly gay player. There was a report that Kevin Durant would retire before playing again for the Nets. KD posted on social media, not true. He has said wants to be traded if the Nets don't fire both Coach Steve Nash and GM Sean Marks. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. John.
All right, John, thanks a lot. It is now 6:37 on Wall Street. Time to look at stocks, some of the names that are moving in the pre-market. And for that, we are joined by Bloomberg's Tatiana Darrier. And Tatiana, we had earnings from Home Depot, and people are still buying 2x4s, I guess.
Yes, Home Depot, a big mover this morning, down about 2.7% now after earnings. And really, the details for the quarter looked good. Comparable sales growth, net sales, EPS, all beating estimates. But perhaps investors there disappointed a little bit that the company didn't raise its full year guidance. It reconfirmed 2020 guidance, also the 2023 outlook. And that, you know, particularly those jitters as the slowdown in home sales and the broader economies, looming headwind for the entire industry and not just Home Depot, but another interesting nugget was the company said the average customer ticket was $90 in the quarter. That's an increase of 9% year over year. But it's unclear if this is a factor of price increases or if customers are spending more, because the number of customer transactions fell 3%. So we'll be looking on the call to hear more details, but those are the two metrics that analysts and investors are looking to see how inflation is impacting shopping behavior. And of course, this comes ahead of Walmart earnings. That will tell us a lot more about the health of the U.S. consumer just in a few minutes from now.
Okay, get back to the office. Let's start meeting in person. Pandemic darlings, Zoom, what's happening there?
Yeah, the return to office, not very good for Zoom communications. That stock is down about 3% this morning after Citi downgraded the stock to sell. So this is the first actual sell rating for the stock. Shares, you know, are taking a beating, of course. But they also remain deep in the red year to date and are only trading at about 0.25% of what they were at the height of the pandemic. I mean, the crux of the downgrade is the growth issue, right? As people are going back to the office, there's growing competition from services like Microsoft Teams and other macro-related pressures that the tech giants have talked about. So all these issues, you know, are looming over Zoom. They also have a phone business that they're trying to ramp up, but Citi is saying that is also, you know, facing rising competition and increasing churn rates. So the analysts, they are not very sure that's going to make a big difference for Zoom. So for now, the stock remains lower in the pre-market and lower by about 38% year to date.
Okay, well, so waiting for the number one retailer, Walmart, for its earnings. Bloomberg's Tatiana Darrier, we appreciate it, and thanks for joining us. Looking at stocks as a whole right now, the futures slightly lower. The S&P E-mini futures down 9 points. NASDAQ futures down 30 points. That's down 0.2%. And the Dow futures right now are lower by 66 points. And you're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And the Bloomberg weather for today from meteorologist Rob Carroll and sunshine, the high temperature in the mid-80s. Tonight, partly cloudy, low 65 to 70. Tomorrow, partly to mostly sunny, chance of a few afternoon showers, the high temperature 80.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and we are watching shares of Home Depot down more than 2% this morning. Its revenue growth topped estimates despite a slowdown in U.S. home sales and the broader economy. Still, it maintained its guidance for the rest of its fiscal year. Roger Federer-backed footwear maker On Holding raised its full-year earnings forecast after seeing a boom in North American sales and reducing a dependence on air freight. U.S. stock index futures are lower this morning, the dollar rising as investors spread over signs of a sharp economic slowdown, even as the Federal Reserve stays on the path of monetary tightening. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day. On Bloomberg, S&P futures down about 10 points. Dow futures down 74. NASDAQ futures down 28. The DAX in Germany is up 0.6%. 10-year Treasury, little change, yield 2.78%. The yield on the 2-year, 3.20%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1%, or in our 87 cents now, at $88.53 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.4%, or $7.80. It's $17.93 an ounce. The euro 1.0127 against the dollar. British pound 1.2021. The yen 134.14. Bitcoin's down 0.25%. It's at $24,018. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. The Justice Department is opposing calls to unseal the affidavit supporting the search of former President Trump's Mar-a-Lago home. The DOJ has called a grand jury and has witnesses cooperating with its probe focused on the mishandling of those sensitive documents. Wyoming Congresswoman Liz Cheney, who is leading in the face of the January 6th riot investigation, is fighting to save her seat in the House today. Voters in Alaska, as well as Wyoming, are weighing in on the direction of the GOP primaries. In baseball, the slumping Yankees lost to the Rays 4-0. The Braves pounded the Mets 13-1. The Nationals, Orioles, and Giants won. The A's lost. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts, more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Karen.
All right, Michael, thank you. It is 6:49 on Wall Street. We turn to news now in science and technology with a Bloomberg NJIT STEM report brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology. NJIT makes industry-ready engineers in more than 20 fields. If it's engineering, it's at NJIT. Learn more at njit.edu. And here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. The CDC has published new guidance on their website for Americans who have caught monkeypox. Among the new recommendations, the CDC says people who can't isolate in another household should take steps to avoid spreading monkeypox, like disinfecting doorknobs and not sharing towels. The agency also has updated their list of animals that can catch the virus to include dogs, after researchers in France reported evidence suggesting a pet dog there caught the virus after sharing a bed with their two infected owners. Apple has set a September 5th deadline for corporate employees to be in the office at least 3 days a week. The tech giant has been working toward getting its employees back in the office since at least June 2021, when it first announced the three-day policy. But COVID flare-ups forced the company to push back deadlines, leaving workers on a two-day-a-week schedule. And a partial victory for billionaire Elon Musk against Twitter. A judge in Delaware has ordered Twitter to hand over files from its former product head on spam and bot accounts. Musk has cited those in his attempt to abandon the $44 billion purchase of the company. But Twitter does not have to produce documents from most of the employees that Musk says are key witnesses. That's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. John.
All right, thanks, Karen. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it is now 6:51 of Wall Street time. Now to check what's going on in D.C. and some of the top stories in our nation's capital include Liz Cheney's pursuit of Donald Trump sets up a likely loss today and a springboard. We have primaries today in Wyoming as well as Alaska. Justice Department opposing the release of the affidavit in the search of Mar-a-Lago. Former Mayor Rudy Giuliani is told he's a target in the Georgia election fraud probe. And the U.S. Congress pushing President Biden toward a risky confrontation with China. Let's take a deeper dive into these stories this morning with Bloomberg Radio and TV Washington correspondent Anne-Marie Hordern. You think that's enough, Anne-Marie? Let's start with the primaries today.
It's supposed to be a slow August, I thought.
Yeah, I always thought that was the case, too. But no, let's start with Liz Cheney. Is she pretty much toast today in her home state?
Pretty much. That's all but certain that she's going to lose to this challenger, Harriet Hageman, which is completely backed by the former president. I think it was the New York Times that ran with the headline. She's really in a face-off with Trump, not the actual challenger, because that is why she is so far behind in the polls. She has a very conservative record when voting, but she obviously was a major player when it comes to the January 6th Select Committee, very outspoken against President Trump, voted for his impeachment. And this is a state where I think we need to remember the former president won by 70%. So it is very difficult for her to now overcome that. So what everyone is talking about in the chatter is maybe she launches a presidential bid for 2024, and that's where maybe her eyes are going.
Okay, so she's focused on the future. I'm also going to assume that the winner of the Democratic primary, if there was such a thing, we're not going to mention that because it doesn't matter.
I mean, he won 70% of the vote, right? It doesn't matter.
That was 10 people, by the way. No, I'm kidding. Let's move on to the next story. The Justice Department, with the affidavit in the search of former President Trump's residence, Mar-a-Lago. Now, there's the what have they released so far? What's the difference between this and the affidavit?
So they released the warrant and the list of what was collected. So we know that there's been 11 sets of confidential, even above confidential, documents. The affidavit really can show you the roadmap of the investigation, which is why the Justice Department is saying they oppose the release of this. They say it's highly sensitive about witnesses, including witnesses interviewed by the government. And they say there is no alternative to sealing that could ensure the integrity of the government's investigation. So this likely sets up the failure of that being released, right? Which a conservative group asked for that. Some media organizations are seeking the release for that. But ultimately, there is still a slim chance because the judge who signed off on the search warrant being released, which happened last Friday, will ultimately decide if the affidavit should be released or not. But the Justice Department is saying even if we redacted some of these very sensitive parts of it, you won't even understand what the investigation is, because that is how critical and sensitive it is. So it looks like it's not going to happen, but there is still a chance, right? Because ultimately it's up to the judge.
Yeah, and I should also point out sort of parenthetically that anybody whose name comes up with respect to this, their picture appears in conservative media, the judge, some of the FBI agents involved, and then they face death threats or even worse.
Right. And what we know from Friday is that a bulletin was sent out to law enforcement officials, to individuals at courts, saying that there is higher risk now of them being targeted because they do see some of the vitriol that is percolating on social media. So that's also probably likely part of the concern that the judge would take into account.
And when he was the U.S. attorney for the Southern District here in Manhattan, Rudy Giuliani was the crime fighter. Now he could be facing a possible indictment. He's at least a target. Tell us more.
Right. So he's not just a witness, is what his attorney said. He's now a target of this probe. And this has to do with his work with the former president. He was a lead lawyer in then President Trump's attempts to overturn the 2020 election. And we'll hear more on Wednesday, tomorrow, because that is when Mr. Rudy Giuliani will testify before a grand jury in Atlanta that is investigating these possible efforts to interfere with Georgia's vote. So this is all not going away, right? And we're going to hear a lot more about it. But this probe that was started in Georgia really came in part by a phone call that Trump had made to the state's top election official, Brad Raffensperger, that he needed to find enough votes to flip the count in his favor. And that's really what they're after.
Can we finish up real quick, about a minute, with confrontation with China as more congressional delegations visit Taiwan?
Right. So Ed Markey finishing up a trip there. He had a 2-day trip Sunday and Monday. And, you know, Congress members go to Taiwan. This has happened before. There's a lot of highlight. This trip is highlighted because it's on the heels of less than 2 weeks ago, Speaker Pelosi, which doesn't always happen. The Speaker of the House, hasn't happened in a quarter century, made this trip. And obviously we all saw what happened with China. Sanctions, cutting off some talks with the United States, as well as these live fire drills. So now there's this weird moment between the Biden administration, who does not want to get into a conflict with China, but at the same time, Congress is pushing a little much more hawkish legislation. They're looking at one piece of legislation that they want to include in the Taiwan Policy Act, and that would officially recognize the island as a major non-NATO ally, also give more about $5 billion in defense assistance. This will be tricky for the Biden administration.
Anne-Marie, we're going to leave it there. Thanks very much. Good to talk to you, as always. And you could read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or the Bloomberg Terminal. Reminder, you can follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Our Bloomberg Radio and TV Washington correspondent, Anne-Marie Hordern. Ahead of the open on Wall Street, well, we're still waiting for earnings this morning from the number one retailer, Walmart. Dow futures right now, 66 points lower. S&P E-mini futures, they're down 9 points. And the NASDAQ futures are 24 points lower. Just ahead, Bloomberg Surveillance. For Karen Moscow, I'm John Tucker, and you've been listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.